Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums, another mini reset. This episode is why self-care feels like another fucking task. This is about how the wellness industry has completely misread neurodivergent mums completely and what actually helps instead. Now, there is nothing that pisses me off more than people talking about self-care. My husband and I have no active grandparents in our life at all, interstate or anywhere, and we have no extended family that actively comes and helps us. If we have a babysitter or anyone come in, we have to pay for it. And that is something we have to factor in. So you have to pay for the babysitter before you have the dinner out, and it all becomes quite expensive. We've always run our own business, and there was a very long period there where we did not have even enough money to eat, let alone pay for babysitters. So for me, it was a massive deal to even put my child in daycare because we couldn't afford to do that even with the childcare rebate from Centrelink. And we had three kids under 3.5. So when people would talk about self-care, I just was completely done. I remember one Mother's Day, and to be fair, my hubby actually really did this well. And he went and got me a massage voucher and actually booked it in and offered to have the kids. And he was so pumped for me, and I was pumped. And I went in to this massage expecting to feel like amazing after. Like, this is what people talk about, the self-care. Now, I did the massage and I came out, and then I even got a coffee and sat by myself for half an hour. So I probably had 2 hours off. When I came home, he looked at me like, wow, she's going to be a different person. And I tried to be very nice about it and said thank you and tried to acknowledge his effort, because he did go to effort, and actually what he did was great. But I said to my friend later on, I feel like I'm a mother walking around in a desert with no water. And I'm so dehydrated, and that is self-care, right? Like, I'm walking around. I haven't had a skerrick of self-care in ages. Like, I actually might die soon. I have had so little self-care. That's how it felt. And then it felt like that massage was like one glass of water. Like, I sculled it, and then I was like, I actually feel more thirsty. By having that massage, I actually realized what it felt like to do something alone, and then I went home. And it felt like I was almost expected to be a better person because of that one massage. And I felt so much anger and resentment to self-care during that time. So I find self-care really aggravating to talk about, and it's probably from going without it for so long. And it feels to me like, do we need one massage or a bubble bath, or do we just need less responsibility, less advice from people, less pressure, less intensity, less mental load, like consistently? There was an influencer that I used to follow, and I don't follow her anymore. And she got pregnant and she was very excited about it. And when she was pregnant, she put up this video of like her having this massage at home. And then she was like, my cup is full because I've had this massage. And I have never been so agitated watching something in my life. I was like, you've had one massage and your cup is full? Well, it must have been basically Nelly at the top then. Like, you don't know what an empty cup feels like. And her advice was more around like, have the massage and fill up your cup. And it's like, if your cup's full from one massage, you don't have an empty cup. So the wellness world has really kind of sold us this self-care, bubble bath, yoga, massage thing. But I feel like they have completely disregarded the fact that this assumes that your nervous system can just relax on command. But I can't relax on command. And this is a neurological mismatch. I feel like self-care requires some executive function, and ADHD actually disrupts that entire process. If you look at Thomas Brown's research on executive function, it really shows how ADHD takes a really quite a simple task like planning a rest, doing a calming activity, switching into relaxation, and it actually struggles to do the executive function steps in actually changing gears, which is why I talk about ADHD as being like driving a manual car as opposed to an automatic car. A neurotypical might go, oh, relaxation time and sit down. That's it, relaxing. The ADHD person might go through the whole massage, can't even relax yet. because it can take multiple steps in planning if they can even get there at that time. Because a lot of us have got that really overactive nervous system where we struggle to relax. So if someone says, just take a walk, have a mindful moment, just go up there and read a book for a second, it can really overlook how hard it can be for an ADHD brain to actually initiate, switch gears, sustain, and then actually take a benefit from that self-care practice. It's actually not easy when your brain kind of is more wired to be in threat. And by the time you do relax, if you can, that whole self-care moment can be over. And then you can feel guilty, angry, irritated that you couldn't even relax. So we really have to have a think about the chronic cortisol dysregulation that can really block the access to calm in our brains. Dr. Bruce Perry talks about how you can be stuck in a sympathetic dominance, so that fight or flight, and your brain can't even prioritize self-regulation. So your prefrontal cortex could be going offline quite often, and then your body can be really flooded with those stress chemicals. So it means that when you are trying to engage in something nourishing, for example, your body might not even register it safe because it's so busy surviving. So it can feel like it's a step too far. It can feel agitating or ineffective because we could be stuck in a loop of like productivity, burnout, rebound, burnout, repeat, productivity, go again. And then relaxing on demand isn't something that we can access. We also have to have a think about what we believe about ourselves and how we engage in anything restful. And it can be like a really, almost like a fake rest because we think we should enjoy it. We pretend we're enjoying it and then we tell people we enjoyed it afterwards. But if we're actually honest with ourselves, we didn't. It may be that instead of feeling relaxed, we actually disassociate or we doom scroll or we spiral into shameful thoughts. And we don't let anybody know that we actually didn't even enjoy that activity. And then we actually do that as our self-care because we don't even know what relaxation feels like. So for us, really, we need to start with feeling safe, bringing down our nervous system, which is often really heightened for all sorts of reasons, including having neurodivergent children that can require more help for longer periods, like getting ready in the morning. Daily independence will take longer for neurodivergent children to develop. We have to do that for longer. Toileting can take longer. And also they can be quite impulsive. So you could have children that are harder to keep alive than a neurotypical child because they're jumping off the bench. They're climbing into trees. They're jumping into the pool. You tell them not to touch that. They touch it. They run on the road. You can be stuck in that response for longer. So really self-care has been sold to mothers and it assumes we've got time. It assumes we have executive function. It assumes we have a child-free space and quiet. It assumes we can ask for help. It assumes we can switch on self-care and relaxation when it suits us. But ADHD really disrupts time perception, energy management, and transitions. Transitions to even get to the bath can be really harder than it looks. You may want to do it, but never quite get there with task initiation. So then if we look at, for example, Dr. Devon Price, they argue that self-care is kind of like productivity disguised as rest, because just like that massage, you're expected to perform after it. So it's like you had that designated period, so now you should be all better now, right? And that then means that you have pressure attached to it and that you shouldn't need a rest at all for at least a month after that. So for example, let's just say if you set yourself a goal, and this is where being neurodivergent is really interesting, because if you don't know that you are neurodivergent and you go see, let's say, for example, a psychologist or a counselor, and they say to you, take 20 minutes for yourself every night, and that's your goal. So you go ahead and you try and do that. Night one, a child vomits. I have to clean that up. It's chaotic. Doesn't happen. Night two, my child remembers that they have to wear something yellow the next day. I have to go to Kmart late at night. Night three, I got time, but then I thought, oh, well, I've already failed twice, so I won't bother. And then I spent that time rearranging the dishwasher, and then I doom scrolled Reddit, and then I bought something online. In those situations, it's not that you don't value the self-care, but it may not work for your brain. So what could work for your brain instead? Think about things, and this is going to be different for everybody, that actually increase your capacity. So is there anything in your life that you have done that you actually have felt the next day, I feel actually a bit better than yesterday. I feel quite good today. Now, an example could be ordering takeaway and not cleaning up. lying on the floor and listening to music, blocking someone's phone number, ignoring an email that you couldn't be bothered answering, saying no to a social thing that you didn't enjoy, saying no to an extended family, saying that you won't host Christmas, for example, going for a walk, walking the dog, patting your cat, could be anything. So we're not chasing like a massage, big bubble bath. It might just be a 5-minute window. For example, I like putting the bins out because my driveway is 50 meters long. I make sure that takes me a long time. You might like going outside in the morning and taking 5 minutes to have your cup of tea. A lot of people talk about the benefits of getting light in the morning. So we don't need to be better at self-care, but we really need to stop surviving in a world that kind of breaks us and then blames us for it and then gives us a bubble bath as if it's okay. And this is a lot of women's problems with Mother's Day, because it's like 364 days of the year, you just do this slave labor, unpaid mental load crap. But one day of the year, don't worry, you get a cup of tea in bed. And it's like, could we just replace that one day and not do it and just make every day better? So the rest isn't a reward, it's a requirement, and we shouldn't be expected to be even more productive after we've had this self-care that's for us, that will heal us from all of the shit that we've just had to put up with. So maybe instead of taking a bath once a month or going to yoga once every 3 months or doing a massage every year, maybe the help could be giving us a hand with the bedtime routine, taking some load off us. Maybe that is what we need, because this self-care thing I find aggravating. And I don't know about you, perhaps I'm wrong. Please write into the Facebook community, tell me how you feel, leave a review, press like, follow on Spotify or Apple. I'll leave the Facebook community in the show notes. Please jump in there and let me know, how do you feel about self-care? Because I think the self-care question is different for everybody. And maybe some people feel differently than I do, and maybe that's great. And if you're somebody that enjoys self-care, let me know how you've built it into your life that is in a way that is really joyous for you. I'd love you to share that. Thank you so much for listening. This is your mini reset, and I will be here next week.